This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Kia ora, no mai, haere mai. Hello and welcome everyone and Happy New Year. My name is Melanie Petroski and you're listening to Mal's Magnificent Bible Study. Thank you for joining me for episode 12 about what's in the Bible. I hope you can join me with your Bible today, but if you don't have one, we can provide you with one. Call us here at Radio Hawke's Bay on 06 878 8710, and if the phone is unattended, please leave a message with your name, phone number, and that you'd like a Bible, and we'll contact you. That number again is 06 878 8710. Please listen with a parent, guardian, or trusted adult today, as topics may be disturbing. Let's learn together. I would like to also take this opportunity to let you know these episodes are available to listen at any time online on the radio station's website, which is radiohawkesbay.org.nz. Just click on Programs and put Mel in the search field and Mel's Magnificent Bible Study will come up. And you can click on Episodes and More, where you'll find all my episodes and may be able to download the most recent episode. Before we get into the next chapter of Genesis, which is chapter 22, I'd like to tell you more about Abraham, Hagar, Ishmael, Sarah, and Isaac, and the topic of trust. So as we read back in Genesis chapter 15, God reminded Abraham, when his name was still Abram, of his covenant or promise, that Abram will have many descendants, and he believed in the Lord. So that means Abraham was going to have children in his old age. And in Genesis 16, Sarai, after 10 years of being impatient with God and thinking that he had restrained her from getting pregnant after the promise, she gave Abram her handmaid Hagar to marry and bear a child, and they conceived and Ishmael was born. And Sarai was despised in her eyes. You see, Sarai jumped the gun and forced a son being born from her own idea or mind, which is sometimes called the carnal mind, which is the flesh or our own strength. So Hagar and Ishmael represents doing things in our own strength or mind or flesh without trusting God and having patience with him that he will answer our prayers in his own time. And the result, or what is birthed from our own fleshly mind or strength, may not be what God promised or wants for us. And that Ishmael, whatever that may be, may mock and ridicule us as Ishmael did to Isaac. But God can still use that Ishmael like he did in the Bible. And Sarah and Isaac represent the spirit, grace, patience, and the promise of God. But we see here it was through Sarah herself that the mistake was made with Hagar. But God still blessed her. And there are many Bible verses which relates to trust in God. The most well-known verse is probably from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." So this means confidently rely on the Lord and do not rely on your own insight, like Sarah did. Other Bible verses on trusting the Lord are 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him." A buckler is a round shield held by a grip at the back or straps for the arms, and it's a means of defense and protection. So this verse means, if we trust in God, he will protect us. Now Psalm chapter 9 verse 10 from the King James Version says, very poetically, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Isn't that really beautiful? In another verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "The Lord will never leave us, nor forsake us." Forsake means to walk away entirely, abandon, or desert. And God will never do that to us. He's always there for us. In fact, the book of Psalms is full of verses about trusting in the Lord. And Isaiah 26, verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength." Now, speaking of everlasting, at the end of last week's episode, I read from Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. It reads that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord. Now here, the Lord is the everlasting or eternal Lord. Some Bible verses use the names we have already learnt, being Jehovah, Adonai, Yahweh, and Hashem. But there's a new Hebrew name for the everlasting or eternal God, which is El Olam. El Olam. That one's a new one for me too. Excuse me. And it is not merely that he is everlasting, but that he is God over everlasting things. Did you know that we can be everlasting too? We can have everlasting life through his son Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. It's all very exciting. Now this leads me to Genesis chapter 22, where God calls Abraham to take now your son, your only son of promise, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering or sacrifice on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, many people don't understand this and question why God would want Abraham to kill his own promised son given to him by God. But the Bible doesn't say that Abraham was hesitant, nor questioned, or even reasoned with God, like he did when negotiating with the Lord about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible simply continues to say, "So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men, his servants with him, and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And then he got up and went to the place of which God had told him." It seems Abraham had complete faith and just trusted in God, since he did say that Abraham will have many descendants. He said that they will be as many as stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Because God's covenant with Abraham depended on Isaac, he may have anticipated that God would reveal to him an alternative to the sacrifice of Isaac, or a different way. We carry on in this very important story. So on the third day of travel, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his servants, "Settle down and stay here with the donkey. The young man, meaning Isaac, and I will go over and worship God, and we will come back to you." Now, obviously, when Abraham said this, "we will come back to you," he obviously thought Isaac would return with him. So who knows what was running through Abraham's mind? Did he think that God would revive or resurrect Isaac? Or would another miracle occur? Now, some say Isaac could have been about 20 years old by now, and others say he may have been older, even in his 30s, like Jesus was. The Bible doesn't actually say. So we continue now from verse 6 of Genesis 22. "Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac his son, and he took the fire or fire pot in his own hand and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together." Now this is a very interesting scripture. Abraham is a type of God the Father. In laying the wood, which he cut himself on Isaac, his son, is parallel to Jesus, who carried a wooden cross to his own execution by crucifixion, which is a wooden cross. So here Isaac is a type of Jesus. And again, Abraham is a type of God the Father. So Abraham's fire pot was probably filled with burning coals too, which can relate to God's holy fire, which purifies. We shall continue with this amazing story. And Isaac said to Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "Look, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So the two walked on together. Now this is another parallel to Jesus, because Jesus was the Lamb of God, who was God's offering for the whole world. So when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound Isaac his son and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill, sacrifice his son as the burnt offering. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." The Lord said, "Do not reach out with the knife in your hand against the boy, and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise." Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket or bush by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as the burnt offering, or the ascending sacrifice, instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide," and it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be seen and provided." Wow, what a story. Imagine what Isaac was thinking when he was being bound and placed on the altar by his own father. The Bible doesn't say that Isaac objected or fought it, so maybe he understood what was going on, or maybe he trusted in his father Abraham, and or had faith in God that he would be okay. The Hebrew verb for kill, sacrifice, or burnt offering refers to a ritual procedure by which the blood flows straight to the ground, like it did in Jesus' day. Now, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, was first mentioned in chapter 16, verse 7, when he first appeared to the pregnant Hagar and told her to return to Sarai. Actually, something I didn't mention back then is Hagar then said to the Lord, "You are God who sees," which in Hebrew is El Roi, El Roi. So that means God never sleeps. He sees, he is aware, and he is the great omnipresent God, which I've mentioned before. He is in all places at all times, and he sees and knows everything. So going back to angels, we have spoken about angels before, but something I don't think I've mentioned is that the Hebrew word for angel means messenger. An angel of God is a special messenger from God who speaks for and is closely identified with him. And the context determines or points to whether the messenger is an angel or a human. The same is true for Greek, and the word angel is an English form or transliteration of the Greek angelos, angelos. The angel of the Lord can be a special case, however. Many Bible scholars believe that this angel of the Lord may be a theophany. Theophany, that is, a physical manifestation or a real-life appearance of God or Jesus, which is, in this case, the word angel is capitalized with a capital A. The angel of the Lord may, based on this context, be the pre-incarnate Christ, meaning the God, Son of God, being Jesus, before he appeared on earth. So the angel of the Lord called out for Abraham. Then it says the Lord said something like, you know, don't burn your son. You have proved your fair reverence and profound respect of God. But you know what? God already knew Abraham was going to do that. God knew Abraham was going to trust in him and do what he said and go to sacrifice his son Isaac. In God's perfect timing, he stopped Abraham, and God did provide another offering, a ram, which is a male sheep. So why did God do all this, knowing that Abraham would be obedient? Well, it's to show us. Now we know that Abraham was obedient, and we can be obedient too. But of course, it was to relate to Jesus on the cross for us. So Abraham named that place the Lord will provide. In Hebrew, that is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, which also means the Lord will see to it. This verse, verse 14, is also a prophetic statement which looks ahead to the fact that Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, would be the ultimate sacrifice chosen and provided by the Father himself. Isn't that cool? Everything relates in the Bible. Now, would you believe that this particular place may be the exact spot where thousands of years later, Jesus himself was actually sacrificed on that wooden cross? Some Bible scholars believe so. Wouldn't that be amazing if it was true? I hope it is true. I'm happy to wait and find out when I get to heaven. We shall carry on with the story. Now the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, by myself, on the basis of who I am, I have sworn an oath, declares the Lord, that since you have done this thing and have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and like the sand on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies as conquerors. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard and obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his servants, and they got up and went with him to Beersheba, where he settled. Now after these things, Abraham was told, Milcah was born, has borne children to your brother Nahor. She had 8 children to Abraham's brother Nahor, and one of those children, Bethuel, became the father of Rebekah, who becomes a very special person in God's family line, and we will read about her very soon. Now Genesis chapter 23 talks about the death and burial of Sarah, Abraham's wife. She lived to 127 years. Wow! Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Because Abraham was a sojourner, or not a permanent resident, he asked the people of the land, the Hittites, to sell him property for a burial place for Sarah, but because they considered him a prince of God, they wanted to just give him the choices of graves. But Abraham wanted to pay a man called Ephron for the cave of Machpelah at the end of a field and paid 400 shekels of silver for it. He was given the whole field and the cave. It was to the east of Mamre, which is Hebron. This is Abraham's permanent position and burial place for the future as well. So Genesis chapter 24 is about finding a bride for Isaac. Abraham was advanced in age, and the Lord blessed him in all things. Abraham said to his main and eldest servant, Eliezer of Damascus, please put your hand under my thigh, as it is customary for affirming or making a solemn or serious oath, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you will instead go to my former country of Mesopotamia and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac, the heir of the covenant promise." The servant said to him, "Suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me back to this country. Should I take your son back to the country from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me away from my father's house and from the land of my family and my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you to guide you, and you will take a wife from there for my son and bring her here. If the woman is not willing to follow you to this land, then you will be free from this my oath and blameless. Only you must never take my son back there." So the servant Eliezer put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Wow, we will learn more about how Eliezer found Isaac's wife next week. Until then, Heikoneira, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.